I am certain that just as you have asked yourself why you love the people you love, you have asked yourself why the people who love you love you. We all wonder, what is it about us that is lovable when we are loved? The poet Yeats, who had a partner in founding the Irish Theater, named Augusta Gregory, once met her granddaughter. Yeats was now an older man, and Anne Gregory was a little girl with beautiful, bright, sunshine hair. And on the spot, Yeats wrote a poem for her, the last verse of which reads, "I heard an old religious man but yesternight declare that he had found a text to prove that only God, my dear, could love you for yourself alone and not your yellow hair." Sometimes there is something so wonderful about another human being that that's the quality that draws you, and only God, my dear, could love you for yourself alone and not your yellow hair. Or your beautiful eyes, or your sparkling personality, or your depth of thought, or your kindness, or your heart, or any of a thousand qualities that evoke love. I ask this because there is a dispute among the rabbis about why Joseph was loved. And it says something important to us. He was Ben Zikunim, the child of Jacob's old age. But of course, Jacob had a child of even older age in Benjamin. So why is Joseph identified as the child of his old age? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it stands for Ziv Ikonin, that he looked like his father, like Jacob. He was like a mirror. And Jacob loved him because he looked like Jacob. And in fact, not only did he look like Jacob, but there are a thousand resemblances between Joseph and Jacob. I'm going to read you just a short section of a midrash, just to give you some of the resemblances between Joseph and Jacob. Just as one's mother, Rebekah, had been barren, so had the other's Rachel. Just as one's mother had two children, Jacob and Esau, so did the other, Joseph and Benjamin. Just as one's brother hated him, so did the other brothers hate him. Just as one was a shepherd, so was the other. Just as one was accused by Laban, the other was accused by Potiphar's wife. Just as one married outside the land, Rachel and Leah, the other married outside the land, Osnat. Just as one had children outside the land, the other had children outside the land being Israel. The one was made great by a dream at Beit El, and the other was made great by a dream, Pharaoh's dream. One went down to Egypt, the other went down to Egypt. One died in Egypt, the other died in Egypt. One's remains were brought to Israel, the other's remains were brought to Israel. It goes on and on. And so when Jacob looked at Joseph, he saw Jacob. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. And you can understand that. He loved him for all the ways in which he was a mirror. But Rabbi Nechemya says, no, that's not why Jacob loved Joseph. Jacob loved Joseph not because he was like him, but for what he learned from him. Jacob loved Joseph for who Joseph became, not for his yellow hair. It wasn't any physical attribute or even circumstance of life. It was something intangible. It was the spirit that Joseph had learned from his father that eventually made him great. That's what Jacob loved. Sometimes you love someone for a particular quality, but sometimes just for the splendor of his or her soul. That's what Jacob saw in Joseph. And this idea, by the way, follows Joseph throughout his life. You may or may not know that it is a midrashic motif. It's a story that the rabbis developed, that Joseph, when he was young, was very vain. They say he couldn't walk by a mirror without taking a look at himself. You can see Joseph, you know, walking down the street and all the store windows. He would stop, he would look, he'd adjust his tie. In other words, he was, in the sense of his own appearance, a narcissist. Not psychologically speaking, but in the sense of the traditional legend of Narcissus, which comes in a couple of versions. But remember, the basic idea is one day Narcissus looked in a pool and saw himself and fell in love. And according to one story, what happened was he bent down to kiss himself in the pool, fell in and drowned. Which is a way of saying your entanglement in your own self-love can drown you. And that's what happened to Jacob. He loved Joseph, according to one interpretation, because Joseph was so much like himself that it destroyed his judgment. He favored him. He put him above his brothers, because after all, this is my boy. He's like me. And it led to catastrophic results. But if you take Rabbi Nechemya's view, what Jacob saw in Joseph was not himself, but something special, some intangible quality, some greatness or exaltedness of soul. And that's why, in the end, Joseph proved to be great, for exactly the reasons that Jacob envisioned. And this contrast between loving somebody for something material, something tangible, or for understanding their spirit, this contrast brings us to Hanukkah. Why do you love Hanukkah? Well, the younger you are, the more likely you are to say, I love Hanukkah because I get presents. But it is important for parents to make the gesture to their children and themselves that Hanukkah is actually not about you. In fact, what you may not know is that Hanukkah, just like Shabbat candles, is not what is called a chovat gavra. That is, it's not an individual obligation. It's a chovat bayit. It's obligatory on each household, not on each individual. If you light Hanukkah candles for your house, everyone else doesn't have to. They may, it's a nice thing, but they don't have to because, you see, it's not about you. The idea behind Hanukkah is to do what? To spread light, pirsume nisa, to advertise the miracle. That's why the Chanukiah goes in the window. It's about what radiates out, not what you receive, but the message you send. And that idea, the idea that the one holiday in Jewish history that celebrates a military victory becomes a story about what is intangible, about light, about spirit, that's exactly the dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya as to Joseph. What was it that was special about Joseph? Was it what was physical and tangible, or what was his spirit? This same idea is the struggle, of course, not only of Hanukkah, not only of Joseph, but of our community and our life. It is the great task and also the great mission of our community to teach ourselves that as much as we have, what we have is not what ultimately matters. In a world blessed with goods, that goods are secondary. In a world filled with stuff, that it matters more if it's filled with spirit. That's why Hanukkah is so important. And that's why the fact that it comes at a gift-giving time is actually good and a challenge. Because in our tradition, We have to teach ourselves and our children that God loves you for yourself and not your yellow hair. That in fact, what matters is not what you have, but what you are. Not what you look like, but the shape of your spirit. Not the gift you unwrap, but the candle you light. That's the challenge of this season. The challenge of this season for our community, because we are so blessed, is to understand that the blessings that you unwrap, that the gifts you have, that the goods we are given, that they are secondary. Lo b'chayil v'lo b'koach ki im bruchi, amar Hashem Tzvaot. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says God. And that's the verse we use to prove that God loves us for ourselves alone. And that's the verse that we should use to teach our children. So this year, when you light the Chanukiah, after you say the brachot, take a minute before you unwrap the presents. Stand in front of the candles. Let that be part of the impression of the holiday. That for a second, we remember that this is about kindling spirit and shedding light and learning to love each other, not for what is outside, but for what is inside. And thanking God that we have been given all sorts of gifts, but ultimately the gift of God's Spirit and the blessing of God's love. Shabbat Shalom.